Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Reports, getting an update from Guanajuato Silver. And we're recapping the most recent financial statements, year-end financial statements, even diving in a little bit more to some of the recent quarterly results from Q1. We are chatting with James Anderson, Chairman and CEO of Guanajuato Silver. Guanajuato Silver is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GSVR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GSVRF. Now, James, we can recap the year-end financials first and foremost, where the company is continuing to produce more gold and silver. You are still dealing with some generally higher costs, but we have talked to you in the past about how you're working to bring these costs down. And quite frankly, the pop in silver prices, that just helps on the back end in terms of getting cash in the door. James, recap 2023 for us. More importantly, what you saw in Q4 compared to the three earlier quarters, please.
Yeah, so I think you just mentioned a moment ago, Corey, that we spoke last in December. And I think what we would have been talking about then is the dramatic changes that we had made and that we were starting to see in the December time period. The third quarter of last year for us was not very good at all. We had sharply declining production, higher costs, and what we talked about in December was all of the different things that we were doing at all of our operations, at all of our four mines and three production facilities in Mexico, to be able to recalibrate production and start to move production higher quarter over quarter again and to lower costs. And I think that if you look at all of those metrics within the 2023 year-end financial statements, all of those things are getting better.
Well, James, you got four mines that you've put a lot of CapEx investment into to start optimizing them. And you've always been very candid with the market and said that some of these were fixer-uppers, that you'd have to put a little elbow grease into them. After investing some of the CapEx, I do notice that the total tons mined was up significantly, up 46%, and you are seeing, you know, better throughput. What else can you tell us about the sustaining capital that you put into these mines to get them optimized, and what kind of work you still have on the docket for this year?
Yeah, I appreciate the comment about our candor to the market. I think that, you know, that overall is true. And what I would suggest is that the move in silver that we've seen over the last 6 weeks or so, moving, let's say, from $22 an ounce to $28 an ounce and change here this morning, that's a huge, huge move. And with all candor, that's a move that I was anticipating maybe 2 years ago, and it just didn't happen. And it left the company, you know, struggling for capital to be able to revitalize these four mines. You know, there's a whole bunch of different mines in the world that are being put into production right now. And, you know, with capital costs that are $100 million or $200 million or $500 million. Well, we never raised anywhere near that kind of money to put these four mines back in production. And so, you know, we've been pedaling really, really fast to move those back into production. And one thing that I would point out that we're very proud of, because we were up until the third quarter of last year, increasing our production quarter over quarter, every single quarter. And in the first quarter of 2024, we've done that again. We produced 987,000 silver equivalent ounces, which is our best production quarter in the history of the company.
James, what about a mine profitability level comment then? Because in all fairness, look, the mine did operating losses throughout last year, but they were decreasing by the tail end of the year. With this higher metals price, are you going to be able to turn a profit on just mine operations?
Yeah, I'm cautious about declaring that categorically, Corey, you know, for especially American regulatory rules. However, if you look at the numbers that we posted for year-end 2023, our cash costs were $18.22. In the fourth quarter, they were $17.66. So driving costs down there. Our all-in sustaining costs for the year, $22.91 versus $21.52. And our first quarter numbers, I think driven by the fact that production continues to increase over some fixed costs that don't change very much, that will look better again. So I think that a lot of the capital that we've spent over the last 2 or 3 years on all of the mines is beginning to catch, and all of those numbers are going to look better. And then to your point, well, you know, what about these higher prices for the metals? They make a huge, huge difference. If you look at our all-in sustaining costs for all of last year, including the poor third quarter, well, it's $22.91. Well, our selling price was just a little bit under that. So that's not very good. If our all-in sustaining costs for the fourth quarter at $21.50, okay, versus $28.50 that we've got here this morning for silver pricing, well, that's a huge, huge difference. And the margins just, you know, expand very, very quickly when you're dealing with a move in silver here right now. And I guess I would also say there's not very many companies around that are like that. We are very silvery. About 50% of our revenue comes from silver. Not very many of the silver mining companies can say that.
Well, James, just to that point, I was looking over some of the metals numbers sold as far as ounces sold or pounds sold, and there is still a lead and zinc component, like there is in almost all silver mining, especially in Mexico. Maybe speak to how that balances out. While you are more silvery than a lot of other producers, there's still a lot of lead and zinc, but those numbers, you know, the amount of lead and zinc you sold was up substantially. How does that play a part in the mix?
So on a percentage basis, we don't really produce a whole bunch of base metals. Combined, it's about 8 to 10% of our revenue. So where the rest of the revenue comes from is gold. So we're a precious metals company. 90% of our revenues come from precious metals, and about 50%, depending on, you know, where the price of silver and gold is, but about 50% from silver. So I think if you compare that to a lot of the other Mexican silver companies, you know, a lot of them have a much greater component of lead and zinc. So mostly in Mexico, you've got epithermal systems, narrow vein, high grade systems, and north of Guanajuato, what you most usually have is a silver lead zinc mix within the ore. That is true of our Topia mine, which is in Durango, but in Guanajuato, where most of our production takes place, it's strictly silver and gold in the concentrates and no base metals.
So James, as you move forward with these four mines, the three operating centers, are there any larger or significant expenditures that need to get paid this year to continue to grow production and develop these assets?
No, there isn't, you know, one really large item that needs to be taken care of, Corey. However, there are numerous additional CapEx desires at all of the mines. We will be installing an ore sorting machine, for instance, at San Ignacio within the next several months. The kind of top line number for that would be $3 to $3.5 million. Although we're going to be leasing that machine on kind of a lease to own basis. So, you know, we'll defer some of that CapEx. I've spoken about getting some of the free gold that exists in the Guanajuato ore using one of these Falcon concentrators, which we've installed on the front end of both our El Cubo plant flow sheet and our Cata plant as well. We need another one of those. That's $250,000. So a number of these items, they're not huge items. Almost all of them have 6 to 12 month payback. So it's all very, very good business. And I think if one can sort of step back to where our company came from and where it's going, we like to call ourselves Mexico's fastest growing silver mining company. From a standing start, we've had quarter over quarter production increases for almost all of the quarters from the fourth quarter of 2021. We're going to continue to do that. And if we need to continue to spend a little bit of money on the business to continue to make Guanajuato Silver Mexico's fastest growing silver mining company, well, that's what we're going to do. I think that's just good business.
Yeah, James, it's nice to see the quarter over quarter consistent growth from the company as far as the output. I don't know if you remember this, but we'd had a meeting in Beaver Creek where we were asking some questions with some of your operations guys there. And one of the things that you were talking about was El Cubo. So I'd love to dial in on that particular mine, and that there had been a few things along the way that were one-off issues. And I'd love you to update the market on how things are going with the operations at El Cubo as things stand today, you know, coming out of the first quarter, moving into the second quarter.
Yeah, well, I think at Beaver Creek, we were right in the midst of the third quarter, which was not very kind to Guanajuato Silver, and a lot of that was some of our operational challenges at El Cubo. And what we had talked about there were some of the grade recognition discrepancies that we were having at El Cubo and some of the ore dilution issues. So I think we've gone a long, long way to answering those, including one of the things that can solve those problems pretty quickly is higher grades. There are areas in the mine, especially deeper down in the Villalpando area, where there are higher grades. They were part of the resource that we inherited when we bought the mine from Endeavor Silver. The deeper areas were allowed to flood when Endeavor closed down the mine. When we first took over the mine in 2021, there were a number of other places that we wanted to get started, wanted to get mining, and dewatering the lower parts of Villalpando were not really a focus. Over the last 6 or 8 months, that has been a focus. And just as of, maybe just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we've been accessing higher grades in that what used to be underwater area, and we've dewatered it to the point where we can begin to access some of those higher grade areas, and that will continue in the months ahead. So that would be one element of what we've tried to do to change the nature of El Cubo's profitability. The other thing that I think is important for your listeners to understand is the plant is quite large. It's about, we can do about 45,000 tons per month processing, but the mine only produces about 25 or 30,000 tons a month comfortably. So what are we going to do to try and fill up that plant? In the first week of January, we announced our first third-party processing arrangement with a larger company in the area, and we've been processing material for them in monthly campaigns to be able to try and fill up that area. And then just a month or so ago, we announced the second agreement like that with a smaller non-public Mexican group that has old mines in the area and has material that's available for processing, that there's no other place to get that processed economically. So for us to be able to use both of those sources of material in the El Cubo plant, that really takes the edge off the overcapacity that we've got there. Now, we've still got some overcapacity, which we think is it's an opportunity, and whether we can put, in the future, whether we can put material from El Orcon, that's our other mine in the Guanajuato area that we've been shipping material both to the Cata plant and the El Cubo plant over the last several months, or from Pinguico and re-entering Pinguico in the future, or numerous other different possibilities. So the opportunities that exist for us to continue to consolidate the Guanajuato mining district are many, many, and enormous. So what we're going to continue to try and focus on that, and poco a poco, like we say in Spanish, just little by little, we hope to be able to fill up that plant entirely.
So James, from kind of a cash maintenance perspective, then as you turn the corner into 2024, you did pay down some of the total debt from 2022. How are you going to be balancing out what it seems like should be a better production and cash flow year if metals prices stay where they are and operations continue to improve? How do you balance that out with paying down the debt while also continuing to grow?
Well, that is a fantastic question. And I guess my off-the-cuff answer is all of the above. If we can continue to have this spread between, let's say, driving towards $20 and $19 costs, and having revenue generated off $27 or $28 or $29 silver, that's a big spread. That changes things dramatically for our company. And you can see it already anticipated in the share price. I think a balanced approach about, where we take that extra money to pay down debt, build cash, but we do have solid plans to be able to continue to accelerate production growth. And I think really that has to be number one. We continue to grow the company smartly, and in the long-term best interests of the shareholders, the best thing for us to do is to continue to grow the company and continue to grow the production of the company.
Well, James, as we watch for the production growth to continue, are there any other key news items that you want investors, or any key milestones that you want investors to be aware of as we move into the second quarter and the balance of this year?
Well, all of those individual line items that I mentioned earlier about where we plan to target CapEx. And I've spoken about this quite a bit over the last 18 to 24 months, where we're taking small amounts of money and targeting high impact CapEx areas at each of the mines. A number of those things still exist, and we're going to continue to target those particular items. And I think that they will continue to have profound, immediate impact on costs and production.
All right. Well, James, thank you for this update. We'll post a link to the news section on the company's website. Also, everyone, please go back, read over those year-end financials, send us any follow-up questions you have for James. We'll get him to address those. And James, keep us up to date as the production advances this year. And we'll come back to you when we get some Q1 financials and as we see how this year progresses. James, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks for the opportunity, guys. Cheers.